Thank you, worship team. God bless all of you for being here today. If you want to get out your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians, we'll be there shortly. If you've ever tried to like write a card or something like that, and you get halfway through the words and you're going, it just doesn't say what I wanted to say, and then you try to work with the words you got because you don't want to burn another card, but then you just take care of that. You get another card out, and well, it's just almost impossible to put in words the things that you really, really, really want to say. And I'll be honest with you, my introduction to what we're going to be talking about today, free from, falls into that category. And if you're new with us, visiting us today, I don't cry all the time. That's probably a lie. But the truth of the matter is, the reason that I put this message together is because we are going to have Thanksgiving. Like it or not, it's on the calendar. Christmas is going to turn the corner. And it's a very difficult time for some people. And it's not just because you're trying to get the meals together and coordinate schedules and presents and put up all the decorations. It's because your heart's broken, but the world is supposed to be perfect. And everybody's trying to be happy, and we're covering it up with all kinds of things. And we should. We should celebrate. Not that we should cover it up, but we should celebrate. And I'll just say it the way I feel it. I'm a little sick and tired of the people that I know and that I love not being free and happy and forgiven and whole and complete and joyful and being able to laugh and to say goodbye to sickness and indifference and hurt and pain. I guess I'm just tired of Satan having his little victories, because that's all it is. It's a little victory. But he loves to put it under the magnifying glass so it just looks so big and looms over you. I'm tired of hearing about churches having their privacy and their worship interrupted, whether it's a mental situation or somebody that just wants to prove a point or somebody with ill intent that's been influenced over the internet. I'm tired of our world being disrupted and torn apart and beat up. And I know that we can't go backwards. We're headed straight for a moment when God will say, son, go get them and bring them home. It's time for the rapture. We have talked about it. We have said it. I've got the trumpet ready. Here we go. I realize right after that we're headed straight into Armageddon. But today God says, your church, my church, the church that my son died for, the church that he built, and he said that the gates of hell should not prevail against it. My church deserves the peace and the joy of the Holy Spirit while they're on earth. I will take care of them, and I will bless them. And it's not time to give up. But we push through pain, and you know, the truth of the matter is, I don't want to see you go through the holidays wishing it was better. I want you to go through the holidays with the help of the Holy Spirit. And will somebody please give me a Kleenex? I'm snotting all over myself up here. I wouldn't preach this message if I didn't think it was real, that we really can be free from these things, that God can send his Holy Spirit in such a way that we will not have to worry about what goes on, that in the midst of some of these things that I'm going to mention today, they will not disappear, but the Holy Spirit will be more apparent, and he will prevail through all of these things, and we can have joy. We may not have laughter, but we're going to have joy. We're still going to understand that loss is a part of the description. We have lost something. Something has disappeared from our life. But the truth of the matter is that God has stepped into our life in a more dynamic way than any other. And that's where I want to go today. Join me in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 7 through 10. And guys, if you'll put it on the screen, it says, we have this treasure in human vessels to show that the power that they see may be of God and not of us. Can I just tell you that as you go through the holidays, what people are going to say is not a worry-free life. They're not going to see that everything is so great because you have so much cash, you don't know what else to do with it. You have so much time and so much energy. You know what they're going to see is the power of God in you. For we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always showing in our body the death of the Lord Jesus, that his life may be seen in our body. This is a promise that he has, and right in the midst of all that, Paul is saying, look at us. Man, we are being pushed on every side. I mean, it's tight in here. Things are tough, but we're going to make it. man, everything seems to be falling apart around us, but God is holding us solid and still in the midst of all of these things. You see, I want joy too. I want happiness too. I want to be free from things too. But too often, I have found that God doesn't disappear, make all the things around me disappear. Instead, He causes me to be strong in Him. He causes Himself to just be available to me, and the Holy Spirit rises up in me, and to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in me. And I feel the Son of Jesus Christ, His blood flowing through my veins. And I feel the voice of the Heavenly Father saying, I am with you. I've never forsaken you, and I have not forgotten you. Hang in there. So let me take you to the Old Testament. There was Joseph. Joseph was just doing his own thing, you know, and, you know, you can have an attitude or whatever, but he was the favorite child. He probably knew it. He was probably spoiled rotten. His dad gave him this wonderful coat of many colors. His brothers got a little jealous of him. They sold him into slavery. He goes over into Egypt. He starts working for Potiphar, who is his boss. Next thing you know, Potiphar's wife makes a move on him. Then he gets accused of sexually assaulting her. He ends up in prison. How's that for a great life? David. Here he is. Samuel shows up at his house right there in the midst of all of his brothers, anoints him to be the next king of Israel. Then he goes out, and God, with God's help, he goes out and he takes down Goliath. But guess what he does for the next 10 years? He's running away from Saul, who is trying to kill him because he is going to be the next king of Israel. And he had the anointing on his life. Jesus, all he did was go around. The Bible literally says all he did was go around is doing good and healing people. And what did they do with him? They crucified him. Are you at the place where you want to stick your name in here anywhere? Because it's okay. That's the way it feels sometimes, isn't it? So why are we talking about being free from all of these things? And what you need to be free from is what God wants to talk to you about today. Some of you literally need to be forgiven. Some of you need to give forgiveness. Some of you, you've just been depressed, and life has just crushed you so hard that you feel like you can't even raise your head up. You just find no strength in your body. There is no rest for the weary. There is no rescue to all of this stuff. And that's where God wants to come to you today. We are talking about the fact that you can't move forward when you're dragging a load of concerns. You can't move forward when there's this big load of brick behind you that you're just dragging with you. And if you are making progress, it is so slow. But all you feel is this load, this concern, these burdens that are on you. God doesn't want you to be functional. We're talking about this because God wants you to be more than functional. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be whole. And that's possible today. And we're talking about this because isn't it about time? Hadn't Satan had enough airtime on this thing? Hasn't this ruled your life long enough? I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but you may be an older person. I mean older person, and you're still worried. You're still encumbered about something that happened when you was a kid. And I'm not talking about some silly little thing that you did. I'm talking about maybe something somebody did to you. Or maybe you've made some choices, and it is just every time you want to raise your head up and glorify the Lord, maybe raise your hands and praise God, Satan reminds you of all that. It just pushes you down because you've been encumbered by that. We're talking about this because broken relationships still exist. Broken hearts are still out there. Some of us have charred past, and we've had an extinguished future. Some of us still live with the poor choices that we've made, and we need to move on. We live in a world of disappointment. We still remember the sting of betrayal. And Satan uses those things. They're great weapons to keep us from experiencing the joy of the Lord, experience us from having a full life. We just have what life we can live. We have a life that's literally limited by these extremes that don't let us really excel. You're like the bird that wants to fly, but the wings just somehow just won't take you, and you never get airborne. And it's a frustration. So how did we get here? Some of it was just an accident. It was just an accident. There were no bad guys and no good guys. It's just an accident. But what Satan loves to do is you jump in there and blame you. He wants to make it your fault. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. Life is rough, and sometimes you just come across some things that are just really, really rough. You know, it's one thing to have a car accident, but it's another thing to have an accident because you don't even know what happened or whatever. Traffic was going so fast. But I'm going to tell you what, I've just had too many times, and in my one hand, I can count the times that it's been a teenager that's killed another teenager, and I've had to talk them through that instance. And they carry that with a burden, and it was just an accident. That doesn't remove all of the things that associate with the accident. It's horrible because accidents don't have a rhyme or reason. They don't have an intent or purpose. You know what they have? They just have results and blame. And Satan loves to get in there and make you the bad guy and the guilty guy. And that's why accidents are so hard to accept, because most of the time, They're the result of human error. There was no neglect. There was no ignorance. There was no ill intent. It just happened. But for some reason, we feel so compelled to blame somebody. And if there's nobody else to blame, you blame yourself. And we recover from a lot of accidents. I mean, you know, come on. There's a lot of things that just come and go, but there's some that Satan just wants to just bury you in those things. Some of you have blamed yourself for something that you cannot change. And the problem with that is not that it happened. The problem is that since you can't change it, it keeps coming into your life. It is really more part of your present than it is your past. You know, it was a mistake. It was a mistake. There's a difference between a poor choice and a mistake. You realize that, don't you? We'll talk about choices in just a second. But a mistake is, you know, you didn't have all the information. You did the best you could, and we had a mistake. And whether it can be prevented or not is irrelevant. But you can't change the past. In fact, the past has had this way of just managing to stay a part of your current life. Let me take you to Psalms 34, verse 18. That the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. When it doesn't make any rhyme or reason and it happened anyway, regardless of whether you tried to prevent it or you just woke up and here it is, that's what happens. And God is in there to do something fantastic for you through all of that. Jesus died a cruel death on the cross, not so that you could have a great future only, but also so that you can have this opportunity to go forward. He didn't give you an opportunity to redo your past. That's dead and gone. It's history. That's not going to happen. So let's start moving forward, because Jesus can take me forward. But too many times we live in the past. That's what accidents do. Sometimes it happens because of something that we did to ourselves. It was self-inflicted. It was something that we're responsible for. Your circumstances result of something you did to yourself. Now listen, I got a lot of friends in this category, but you know what? We decided when we didn't know Jesus or we drifted away Jesus, and we decided we would find out what drugs were like. We decided to be irresponsible with some of the choices we made. We decided we'd find out if there was a lot of thrills in those bottles and if those beer commercials were really true, that you can have that much fun. On and on and on we can make those things and look at them. But this is the hardest to excuse because of the guilt associated with it. We have given Satan a free rein to take this thing called guilt and just weigh it over us. It's your fault, your fault, your fault. You know what? He's right. It may be my fault, but I can be forgiven. I can be forgiven. You see, where Satan wants to use shame and guilt, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, uses conviction. And he draws you close and says, listen, I can't change the title. I can't change the results. It's gone. But what I can change is you. I can forgive you. And some of us, we will forgive everybody else. We'll forgive this, forgive that. But we will look in the mirror and we will never give ourselves the right to be forgiven. Hey, I'm not talking about giving yourself a break. This isn't a free pass. This isn't you can just erase it. No, it'll live with you forever. But I'm going to tell you what, some of those things will live with us forever, but they need to live with us forever under the umbrella of forgiveness. I'll tell you what, some of the hardest things to do as a pastor is to get into some of these conversations and they're just heartbreaking. A young lady who had her baby aborted. Pastor, come on, don't lay a heavy on us like that in the church. Listen, I'm not here to knock the scab off anybody's womb, but what I am telling you is that if something like that happened to you, God will forgive you and restore you and probably has. But all Satan wants to do is remind you of what you did and how horrible that was. And it doesn't line up. The forgiveness, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, is so much more powerful than his suggestion. It's pitiful. But we tend to live in his suggestion. Listen, when I was 15, I attempted suicide. You know what? I don't care. Now listen, I remember every moment. I know what led up to that. I know every detail of that. But I'm going to tell you what, the reason I don't lay awake at night and bothered by a lot is because Jesus set me free from those circumstances. And it's just a part of my testimony. It's just a part of the facts of what happened in Dave Muir's life. Just like when I was 16, I got a driver's license. At 15, I attempted suicide. That's all there is to it. And Satan hates that. He wants me to be downtrodden on that. He wants to be me to be in therapy. He wants me to doubt the fact that I can stand up here in the pulpit. Well, the only reason I can't is not because I overcame him. It's because Jesus overcame him. And that's the things that we're getting free of today. Maybe some of you have had an affair. Maybe some of you have done things that you are the only one that knows what you did. Fine. Put it under the blood. It may be a part of the record as far as your own heart goes. You know what also needs to be on the record? Covered by the blood. You say that with me. I mean, sometimes preachers ask you to say something. It just needs to be said. Say those words with me. Covered by the blood. You can't outlive it. You can't out-excuse it. You can't ignore it. And when it's covered by the blood, even now Satan wants to remind you of that. But all you need to do, and I love how that little song says, all you need to do is remind him of his future when he reminds us of our past. Amen? Isn't that freedom? Isn't that liberating? That's what we're looking at here today. God takes no pleasure in seeing you punish yourself. But Satan sure is having a great time. And I think he's getting way too much airtime in our life. Sometimes it's something that happened on purpose. I mean, somebody deliberately did something to you. Somebody touched you inappropriately. Somebody ripped you off in a business deal. Somebody demeaned you. Somebody gossiped about you. Somebody was a backbiter. Somebody with evil intent did something to you. I mean, this isn't about, you know, I had a role to play in this. I mean, somebody did this to you. And this is the hardest to deal with because it involves something that the church always struggles with. It's called forgiveness. I know you're not going to like this. Your flesh, your feelings, wherever you want to call it, isn't going to like this. But I'm going to tell you what. Retribution isn't the equalizer it used to be. We love to watch the movies where somebody, you know, their wives are killed or whatever, and it's great Hollywood stuff, and they come back, and they get all beefed up, and they get all Chuck Norris and Arnold Schwarzenegger and everybody else wound up into one. And we love that when it's on the movies, if you will, if you're one of those people. But you know what? It never works out that way in real life. Because that's not the way God works. God has an incredible plan for you. Listen, retribution and payback will not restore what you've lost. It will never restore what you've lost. You can't punish them, but you can punish yourself by holding on to it. I tell you what, this is the hardest thing to preach, but the Bible literally says in Luke, the 4th chapter, that he will set us at liberty from them that are bruised. He will set at liberty them that are bruised. You know what that means? I know what a bruise is. When you bruise your elbow or whatever, bruise your leg, it's this blood contusion into your skin, and this purple stuff shows up, and it's probably hurting, and it's tender, so you protect it. Now, isn't that what, didn't he mean when you're bruised, you get healed? But you know what, he just said, set at liberty them that are bruised. You know what he means? When somebody did something to you, and it's probably not in a physical sense, but it may have been associated with that, maybe somebody molested you. Now we're walking down a dark path, aren't we? Somebody did something really, really mean and evil to you. I mean, man, and you know what? And half the time it's somebody that you knew. You didn't expect to get betrayed by your relative. But even today, Satan wants to bring you into this circumstance that you are somehow being held responsible. It is a horrible thing. But you know what Jesus says? Jesus says, if you will forgive them. Wow, Pastor, you just mentioned a couple of things. They're unforgivable. You're right in your flesh, but in your spirit, if you will forgive, that doesn't mean you have to restore them. That doesn't mean you have to let them live and move in and be nice to you again. That doesn't mean, yeah, you still have to be cautious with your life. You understand that? I'm not being irresponsible with this content up here. But if you will forgive them, guess who gets set free? You do. Because you have been handcuffed and shackled to that event and to that thought and to that word and to that action and that sense of betrayal so long that you can't break through of it. But Jesus says, if you forgive them, and you'll be set free. I don't know how it works that somebody would literally go into a prison setting and forgive somebody that took the life of a loved one. I saw something the other day. Facebook may be a lot of things that are negative, but it was kind of cool. This one story about this lady. She was 13, and no, she was in her young 20s. She was the guy was 13, and he shot her in the face. And years later, he called and wanted to ask her forgiveness, and somehow they built this relationship. And amazing that here's this guy that who would have spent the rest of his life in prison because of what he did at 13 was now free because of this lady's involvement in his life. I'm going to tell you what, only Jesus can do something like that. I'm not asking you to make that person who did those things or that circumstance your best friend, but I'm telling you what you need to make your best friend is the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you forgive, he sets you free. He sets you free. Psalms 147 verse 3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. Doing anything to them that you can do to them will never do that. Only Jesus can do that. The last thing, we're here because of choice. You see, something has happened. Something has been taken from you. You have lost something. But now you have to choose to be free. You have to choose to go forward. You have to choose to seek God and all of that. You have to choose that we're going to rise above this. You have to choose to get up every day and go forward. You have to choose that you're going to be a Christian. You have to choose that you are going to exemplify the Word of God and what it says to your life. You have to choose that you're going to let the Spirit of God reign in your life. Because we have to do this because guess what? If we don't choose, we have already made a choice. If we don't go forward, we have already made a choice. And I'm not talking about this is your choice. You did all these things. I'm talking about you have to make a choice to get out of this. You have to make a choice to go forward. You have to make a choice to be free. It's very difficult. Psalms 51, you remember the story. David had literally committed adultery. He was with Bathsheba. You know the whole story. And in Psalms 51, it says, You do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. David puts in the Psalms, he's talking to God, of course. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You know what God did today? He got up, if you will. That sounds weird, me telling you that God got up. But He entered into your life to rescue you. He came to this place to restore you, to see you through everything you're going through, to give you strength, to give you comfort, because He loves it when we come unto Him. He loves it when we come unto Him. He is ready to pour out all kinds of blessings. He's ready to forgive. He's ready to restore. He's ready to give you the thing that you're missing. He's ready to set you free. And listen, while we may be bound by these things, which is why we need to be free, remember what Paul said, we're not destroyed. We are not destroyed. But it's your choice. Here's what you can do. First of all, you can continue to be a victim if you want to. Listen, that's easier said than done because most of the things that we feel like we've been victimized with, we don't share with other people. I don't want to tell you about the time that we were burglarized and I entered the house with my loaded golf club and there I was to protect, you know, and we had this dog and the dog was looking at me like, they were really friendly and quick. Now they didn't stay long, you know. I just felt for weeks like I needed to stay awake at night and protect my family. Are they coming back? These invisible people just came into my house, messed my house up, took stuff, personal stuff, valuable stuff, and disappeared. Are they coming back? Wow. I don't know. But you know what? I'm not a victim today. And it's not because I got locks on my doors, and it's not because I got some really cool ring your doorbell security thing. You know, that's okay. You know, I didn't put up cameras or whatever. Nothing wrong with all that. But I'm going to tell you what. I'm not a victim today because Jesus Christ lives in my heart and He says, you know what? Those are things. What I'm concerned with is you. And if you will pray, I will protect this house and I will protect your kids and I will protect you and I'll watch over your stuff. You can lose stuff, but we can't lose you. That's what it is not to be a victim. It's your choice to be hardened and callous to the truth. I mean, the truth is tough. The Bible says that we should speak the truth in love. That's usually what somebody uses as an excuse. Let me tell you the truth so that they can wound you. But sometimes we need to embrace the truth because it tells us the truth. I mean, it tells us how much God loves us. It shows us things that we need to do. But we can become hard and callous to that if we're not careful. You can let pride override your heart. If we're not careful, we just kind of boast and we get strong and we suck up deep and we stick our chest out like, I'm going to be stronger than this. I can handle this. I'm going to be bigger than this. I'm going to be big boy and big man about this thing. I'm not going to show any weakness. I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to be tough. Well, good luck with that. And you can do that in public, and you do that in spurts, but I'm going to tell you what, we all have our private times when we mess up. The problem is, I fall apart in front of you instead of by myself for crying out loud. Here I am coming to you with a babbling fool, and you know this is what I get. I don't know what I did wrong, but here I am. But it'll never, never work. You can continue to rely on yourself if you want to. Oh, I can handle this. Well, you've handled it for years, but you can't change it. You've lived with it. You've made it a part of your life, but it's not a part that God says, I want to be a part of your life. Now, I said this a long time ago. I remember using this illustration, you know, and I remember Jim Haddock was sitting right down here. He had recovered from cancer. I said, Jim, let me ask you something. how many cancer cells do you think it's okay to live in your body and be okay? I mean, you know, only a couple, 300, 400, is that okay? Can they stay in there? You know what his answer was? Absolutely, I want to be cancer-free. I want to be cancer-free. And too often we take these things and we compartmentalize them and we manage them and we learn how to live with them. But they're always going to be things just hiding in the margins of our life, ready to just come out of nowhere at any time to defeat us when we want to go forward in God. There's many times that you've wanted to bust out in praise. You wanted to do something very gracious. You wanted to be giving. You wanted to be very hospitable. You wanted to do something that was really godly. And in the midst of that, Satan rises up. He says, oh, you can't do that. Remember this? You can't do that. You're not like that. You don't have those gifts. That's not your calling. That's not God. He says all those things, and he always has a little tool chest of things that we've provided for him over here, and he just pulls that out and uses it on us. You can continue to be ruled by guilt and shame if you want to. Those are a few of Satan's best tools, by the way. He loves to just tell you how guilty you are and how shameful you should be. We already talked about that. Jesus comes to give us freedom from that as we are convicted, lovingly convicted of our sin, convicted of our life, and bringing those things to the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can free us. Or you can surrender to God. You can surrender. I've never been in a situation in war, never been to war, wasn't in the military. This was last week. There's just a part of me that feels empty on that day. I don't mean it in a bad way. It's just that I just feel like there's a part of me that hasn't earned the right to feel that good about our America and our veterans and our men and women who have sacrificed. But then you get with these men and women, they'll say, don't be a fool. We did that so you can be a part of that. That's our lives. We just feel like there's this emptiness. I haven't paid enough. I haven't done enough. I haven't gone to church enough. I haven't been good enough. And Jesus says, you'll never be good enough. And by the way, you know what? I went to the cross so that you didn't have to. So that all of this could be a part of your life through my life. Surrender to a God that loved you so much that he died for you. Aren't you tired of the battle? Aren't you tired of those conversations? Aren't you tired of the debate? Aren't you tired of Satan winning? Aren't you tired of your past always creeping into your future? Aren't you tired of the thoughts that you have wondering if you're good enough? The Bible says none of us are good. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of God. Could God make you so happy, so fulfilled? Could he heal you so completely that it could be like it had never really happened? I say, yes, he can. I say, yes, he can. You may have a memory of something that happened, but you do not have to live with the memory and the reality of what it does to you today. We mentioned Joseph earlier. Let me remind you of Joseph. We go to Genesis, the 41st chapter. I mean, this guy, he is the poster child for being mistreated and disappointed and rejected, you know, rejected by his family, sold into slavery, like I said, falsely accused, ends up in prison. Next thing you know, he's in prison. I mean, even the two guys that he helped out in prison dumped on him. But then finally he gets to the Pharaoh. And God uses him mightily. Have you ever thought, or have you ever allowed the thought, that God could use you to that degree? It may not be Egypt. It may not be a world changer. It may not be a nation. But you know what? Could God use you to change your family? Could God use you to change your friends? Could God change you, little old you, and make such a difference that somebody's future will be in heaven instead of hell? Let me answer that for you. Yes. Absolutely. If we will let ourselves just be free from these things. Here's what Joseph said. This is so cool. He had two sons. The Bible said Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. And this is what it means. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. God has made me forget all those years of slavery. This wasn't a 20-minute thing. Years of slavery. Years of prison. He made me forget all of that. Matter of fact, God even let me forget all of what happened to those stinking brothers of mine. And I had four of them, and they are stinking. They can do those kinds of things. I forgot all about that. Then he had a second kid, and the name of his second was called Ephraim. God, I wish this for all of you. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I don't blame you for praying, God, take it away. I don't blame you for saying, God, make it like it never happened. I don't blame you for doing those things. But this is so cool what Joseph says. God has caused me to be what? Fruitful. Not just functional. I don't get along. I can make it. We're going to manage. No. Fruitful in the land of my affliction. I'm going to say something. You're going to want to throw rocks. But you know what God wants to sow for you from the things that we're talking about today? You'll almost want to go, God, thank you for that happening. Not because it happened, but because through that and what I struggled with and how you showed up, I'm now here today. I got fired. Well, actually, I got fired three times. I only thought it was two. Those are two pastoral positions. If you don't know me, we can talk later. I was a teacher. Got fired. And this guy had the audacity to say, I'm going to tell you what, Dave. He said, don't worry about it. He said, you know what? You're going to want to write him a thank you letter. I went, what? I do want to write him a letter. I don't think thank you was anywhere in there. But then he followed it up. He said, I'm going to tell you what, I just can't tell you how or where, but what's going to happen? Because now this happened to you, this now just became the will of God for your life. And I went, well, dude, you're really missing it now. It's God's will for me to get fired. Yippee! I mean, because I'm still hurting over the fact that how am I going to pay my bills? I mean, you know, my employment just discontinued and blah, 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 and all this other stuff. Are we going to move and all this other things? You know, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just like, but what he was saying is, through this, God did not leave the situation, even though your situation changed. He did not. And he will march right through all of this, and he's going to take care of you. And you're going to be so blessed on the other side of this. If you handle it right, you give it to God, you're going to be amazed, because you're going to want to almost sit back and say, God, I am so glad that happened, because if that hadn't happened, this wouldn't have happened. And we can play those little magical dots all day long, but it doesn't change what the Word of God says, and that is that he is true and faithful. Listen, just because you were hurt doesn't mean you can't be healed. Just because you were betrayed doesn't mean you can't trust. Again, it's hard to trust when you've been betrayed. It doesn't have to define your future. So you know what we're going to do today? We're going to draw a line in the sand. We're going to put a foot down and say, Satan, this is it. This is the end of the line. This is as far as we go. Will you be bold enough to do that? And it can't be your effort. It can only be what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit said, this is it. Today we decide that this is where it all ends. Let me take you back to 2 Corinthians real quick. We are hard-pressed but not crushed. Persecuted but not forsaken. Struck down but not destroyed. Perplexed but not in despair. Thanks be to God. Our God and our Lord Savior has come not to rescue your Thanksgiving and not to rescue your Christmas. That may have been what started my emotions, but he came to rescue you. He came to rescue your future. He came to show up today to say, you know what? That may have defined what your past was. You may have made those choices. This may have happened to you. This may have been the result. And you have to live with this, this, and this. It's a part of the record, but that doesn't have to be a part of your future because it hasn't been written yet. That record is still to be defined and has still been to live, and I believe that you should be a part of it. Amen? Stand to your feet. Musicians, come. I'm going to ask you in just a second, those of you who need to just dump this stuff, I'm going to ask you to be bold enough to leave your pew, to come down here and just seek God. If you need forgiveness today, I'll help you with a prayer if you need it, but you understand exactly how that goes. God, forgive me. I am a sinner. I have done wrong. I ask for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse me. If you're being defined by something that happened in the past, you may have done it. Somebody may have done it to you. But it has been a part of your title and your resume way too long. How about we just rip that page out of your portfolio and mark it under the blood? Amen? Say it with me again. Covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. Covered by the blood. And this isn't just some mantra that the pastor got you to say to kind of beef you up. This is the truth. Something's been taken from you, and what is going to take its place? The love, the joy, and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray in the next few moments, God, compel us. Lord, we've had it. We've had it. We're not going to respond out of desperation. We're going to respond to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, Father, I can see in my mind just you with your hands stretched out when you said, come unto me. All you that are heavy and you're burdened and you're beat up and you need rest and life has had its way with you and your past just won't stay in the past. It keeps creeping into your future and it keeps diminishing your future. And we're not going to do that anymore because if you'll bring it to me, come unto me. Father, I pray in the next few moments you will give that because we need to be free. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The worship team is going to lead us, give us some music. If you want to be free today, I ask you, I compel you. I beg you, let God have that and let him set you free. Let you just feel those things that just peel off over you. Some of it's layers. I mean, it literally feels like you're wearing a coat of bricks. It's that heavy. You can feel it. And it is just so heavy on you. And God today just wants to take that off of you. And it's tough because you know what? We're walking down the road of memory and pain, but you're walking also down the road of deliverance and freedom. And I want you to be free. I want you to really experience Thanksgiving and Christmas and eternity free from all these things. Amen? Will you do that with us? Come on. Come on. This altar is for every one of us. This altar is for your moment. And listen, it may be like it feels like a paper cut compared to something. But you may tell you what, you leave it alone long enough, it'll get infected and it'll get worse. And Satan will use that. All he needs is a little bit. All he needs is an edge. All he needs is just a little access. And he will invade your life and he will rob you of all of those things. I don't know how, I don't know what, and I don't know the definition of it, but God has for you what you need in him today. And it's going to be associated with freedom. Your life is going to be much different than what you thought it was going to be before you walked in here today if you give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask some of you, your prayer warriors, some of you awesome people to come. Will you just come and help us pray in these altars? These people need to hear a voice praying for them. This isn't about invading your privacy. This isn't about an interrogation or an interview. This is about just letting the church bless you. Will you come and pray with these people? Let's bless them. Let's touch them. Let's bring our lives and our hearts down here. And let's let it be exposed with one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Worship team, please lead us in worship right now.